hell unless they are brought up in very, very difficult circumstances of life. Children brought up in war-torn countries, they have a very, very sad story to tell. For they grow up very quickly, surrounded by death of loved ones and friends, day in and day out. But when we talk about the personal testimony, we're not talking about any story. We're talking about a particular story, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It is not about us when we speak of our personal testimony, even though it is about our person. And that is why one of the most difficult assignments given to us by God is to tell our personal testimony. Because our heart's desire as God's children is to promote Christ, is to talk about Christ. But the nature of personal testimony is about us, is about the person. So how to talk about ourselves and not promote ourselves? Because our heart's desire is to promote Christ. And yet we have to talk about ourselves. And in the course of it, at the end of our testimony, it must be the Lord Jesus Christ that must be glorified and not us. And that is why it is very hard to give a personal testimony. In this particular epistle, just like another one in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said that he was forced to speak like a fool when he was forced to boast about his life as a missionary. How he was so terribly persecuted from the first missionary all the way right up to the day he died. He did not like to brag, he did not like to talk about it at all. But he was forced to because his apostleship came under serious attack in the church in Corinth, saying that he was not a legitimate apostle. He was not part of the original 12, and they were all true. He was not part of the original 12. And yet he was truly also an apostle. And that's why he was an easy target for the devil. And the devil never stopped attacking the person of the Apostle Paul, hoping that by attacking the person, they might also reject the person and the doctrine of the person, which is the truth of God in Christ. And that's why the conclusion of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was not sure whether he succeeded in defending his apostleship in the eyes and minds of the people of the church in Corinth. And so he concluded by telling them, even if you reject me as the messenger, please do not reject the truth that I have taught you. For no man can do anything against the truth but be for the truth. You want to throw me outside? You don't want to accept me? That's fine. But don't throw Christ. Don't throw the truth and the doctrine, because you are throwing away your own salvation and your relationship with God in Christ. You can throw away me, the messenger. It was a very difficult thing for him to do, to talk about himself. And so when it comes to Galatians, again, he was forced to talk about himself. And then in the book of Acts, when you study it, when he was asked to stand before Festus and Agrippa and others, he had to once again share his personal testimony of his salvation and how he very wonderfully focused on Christ at the end of his testimony. And we need to learn how to do that, because we all have a story to tell, especially when the story involves the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to tell that story, just as Paul, in this context, in this instance, a personal testimony was definitely required. And the reason was the enemies had crept into these churches in Galatia. Galatia is a province. And these enemies were very familiar to the Apostle Paul because he was once upon a time like them. And that's how his testimony began. And so he says in verse 13, or he said in verse 13, "For ye have heard of my conversation, that is my behavior in time past in the Jewish religion." Because the enemies who have crept into the province of Galatia to undermine the Christians in the churches in this region, they were Jews. They were Orthodox Jews. And Paul himself was like them once upon a time. And that is why he felt that in this instance, it was needful for him to share his personal testimony, to let the people in the churches in Galatia know that I know what they are talking about. I know where they are coming from. It is not something that I'm not familiar with. Because the Apostle Paul's reputation as the persecutor of the church was well known. Galatia is in present-day Turkey. Paul was a very fierce persecutor in Jerusalem, in Judea. And while he was on his way with a license, a permit in his pocket that he obtained from the Sanhedrin Council members, he was on his way to Damascus because any Jewish home that called themselves Christian Jews, with this permit, this license in his pocket, he could enter into any home by law because the Sanhedrin Council members was in charge of all the Jews in the whole Roman Empire. Not just in Judea. With this license, he could enter into any home and catch, persecute, imprison, even kill any Jew who turned away from the God of the Old Testament, Judaism, and believe in Christ. That was Paul's obsession. That's why he said, you have heard of my behavior in time past in the Jewish religion, even though you may be living in Galatia as far as in Turkey. Not in Jerusalem, not in Judea, some distance away. You all know, you have heard of what I was like before, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. You all know of how I was so obsessed by truly, sincerely, with all my heart, believe that I was doing God a big favor by attacking these Christians, by attacking these followers of this man called Jesus of Nazareth, whom they all believed to be Christ, the Messiah. And I did it with great zeal and fervency, exceedingly zealous. I went out of my way. It became my one and only all-consuming desire. Full-time job. That was what he did. Now, we all knew later on that he was a tent maker, but there was no record of him making tent. It was probably a task, an ability that he learned from his parents. But his full-time job was to promote Judaism. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, as he testified in Philippians, in the epistle to the Philippians. They all knew what he was like. He was very much, very famous for this. And he needed to share with them. And what he did, profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation. The word profited in means, out of so many of my contemporaries, I was right on top. I profited means, I help enlarge the Jewish religion by what I did. The Jewish religion spread far and wide because of my fierce and obsessed persecution of the Church of God. And then he said that I wasted it. How that beyond measure I persecuted the Church of God and I wasted it. I tried my best to ravage it, to destroy it. And he succeeded on many, many occasions. He was there to hold on to the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. What did Stephen do? All he did was to preach to them about Jesus of Nazareth being the Messiah, the Christ. And this young man Saul stood there and watched and observed. He was part of that group of Jews who promoted the false gospel, in other words. That now these Jews had infiltrated into the churches in Galatia and they are now doing the same. And that's why the Apostle Paul had to share with them this testimony. That I know exactly where they are coming from and I understand what they are doing and I myself was once upon a time like that, perhaps even more. Have you at any time, when the gospel was first given to you, not only did you reject the gospel, but you repudiated, you insulted, and you hurt the person who out of love for Christ and for you took a risk by sharing with you the gospel, either in tract form or in any other form. Or even though you may be found in an ecumenical church, and the person put himself at risk, knowing that if I were to tell you the truth about Christ and about the errors in your church to take you out of the ecumenical movement, Because that person probably was part of it before. And now he wants to share with you. You and I know that every time you share about the love of God in Christ, the reaction is not always what you would expect or desire. What we would expect and desire would probably be the person would truly repent of his sin, come to know Christ and accept him as Lord and as Savior, that you will help a sinner open his eyes to the truth of God, and that they will be delivered from the blindness and the bondage of the ecumenical movement that is in Christianity today. That's our desire, that's our hope. But more often than not, it is the other way. We get attacked, we get abused, we get insulted. And thank God that in Singapore, the law protects us to a certain degree that we do not get persecuted, physically hurt. Or people might report us to the authorities on some occasions. And then we have to go to the authorities and to give an account of what we have been doing. These are the last days. The Apostle Paul was himself a persecutor. He did it out of ignorance, even though he was extremely sincere. He admitted that in the epistle to the Philippians. And for us, we may not be as violent, as obsessed as the Apostle Paul, but I'm sure that we had our share of rejecting those who tried their best to share with us the love of God in Christ. And there may be occasions when you are asked to also share your personal testimony. You have to share with them. If they are your children, more so, you must share with them and tell them and talk to them what mommy and daddy were like in the past. And some of us have very, very dark and painful past. And some of us might even have come from prison. We know of some students in FEBC who were ex-prisoners. They've been in and out of prison, sometimes 3-4 occasions. And then many of them had tattoos all over their body, and they were to live with this for the rest of their lives because it would be too costly and painful to remove them. I still remember on one occasion when we were studying in FEBC, there was this time when we were invited to go to Dr. Toh's house, the time he used to live in Andrew Road. He had a swimming pool, and by the arrangement between Dr. Toh and Reverend Toh, where Dr. Toh was our president of the college at the time. Once a year, we would all assemble to his home and he would provide lunch. And then we will go there for a swim. Then I noticed that some of my classmates, they just sat there by the side, long pants and long sleeve shirt. They did not go into the pool with us. And then I do not have to ask or say anything. The answer is obvious. Their whole body from their wrist all the way to their torso. All covered in tattoos. Very frightening tattoos that you can see because we see them in the boys' dormitory. When they shower. When they change into the pajamas to sleep. It's very, very obvious. This is a stark reminder of their past, of their history. Of what they were like, because when personal testimony is required of us, we have to speak about our life before salvation. But we have to speak in such a manner that does not end up a kind of a boasting as if it is something glorious, as if it is the darker the moments we were in, the better it will be. Be very careful that we do not end up boasting about our sinful past, our sinful lives. It is supposed to be something shameful. It is not something that we delight in. We did it out of ignorance. We were in sin. And that's what total depravity has done to so many of us. We may not have that kind of extreme experiences where our bodies are tattoos, which is a stark reminder of our life before salvation. Like these full-time workers. Some of them are pastors, some of them are full-time workers today. But they have to live with their past because of what they have done to themselves. We also know of a student who came to FEBC to study from another country. And then as usual, he had to go for his medical checkup. And it was found that he was HIV positive. Of course, his visa was not approved and he had to be sent back to where he came from. Before he was saved, his life before salvation was fornication. And now he is plagued by this and he was not aware of it. He finished his studies in his country and he did well enough to be invited to FEBC to study. A local church had already adopted him to support him. But then he failed the medical test and he had to be sent home. And I was told that a few months after that, the Lord took him home. Life before salvation, we all have that experience. And we all must know how to share it in such a manner that it must glorify Christ. Don't try to be so vivid and descriptive. The details do not need to be known. Like the Apostle Paul just simply used, exceedingly zealous. What I did profited. I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. That would be enough. You don't have to put in all the gross and gory details. Because by doing all these, you might end up promoting sin and self. Just simply describe what we were like. Nothing lovely about us. Don't describe yourself as if you are not that bad a sinner. All of us are chief of sinners. No exception. We may not have tattoos. We may not be found in prison. We may not have experienced prison life. That does not mean that we are not totally depraved. All of us, without exception. Because you must realize what Jesus taught the disciples and us. Those who have been forgiven little will love little. How can a person be forgiven little? Because he doesn't think that he is a terrible sinner. That's what it means by forgiven little, and so he will love little. But those who have been forgiven much will love much. The Apostle Paul understood and called himself, I'm a chief of sinners. I was a persecutor of the church, and that's why he used back the same energy and zeal and fervency that once he used it in his ignorance to destroy Christianity. Now he will turn it around and he will use the same strength of energy and perhaps even more with the filling and the empowering of the Spirit of God to promote Christianity, to promote Christ. And that's why he shared in these two verses, my life before salvation, I was one of those very, very strong Orthodox Jews who have now infiltrated into the churches in Galatia and now they're undermining your faith just as what I used to do. And you all knew my past, my history, and what it was like, and what I did. It's well known. Life, undeserving salvation. That's how you must always do when you transit from the life before salvation to the life after salvation. In between, you must let your congregation know and you must let your own soul know that it is a life undeserving salvation. That's why he says in verse 15, but when it pleased God, not me, not the church, not anyone, pleased God, it's up to God's own pleasure. Even though I was against him, even though I was against Christ, his only begotten son, even though I try my best to put obstacles in every Christian's pathway, and I destroyed and wasted the church. But when it pleased God, it is only due to his own pleasure alone. I don't deserve God's pleasure upon my life. And what did God do? He separated me from my mother's womb. He went all the way back to say that right from the very beginning of my existence, God already knew me. God already understood what my life would be like. Right from the very beginning of my existence, that's how far back he went. Now, this is a person who is born again who is speaking. At the point of his salvation, of course, he did not know any of these things. If you were to read the book of Acts, while he was on his way up to Damascus to persecute more Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ met with him. At that point in time, the Lord simply stopped him and saved him. And then upon his arrival at Damascus, the Lord had blinded him all the way to Damascus, and then God called Ananias, and gave him a message to call this man Saul into the ministry to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And he did that in order to help the apostle Paul. And he will share the difficulty of his salvation and entrance into the ministry because of his past. It was difficult. But the transition, the life, it must be a life, a testimony, undeserving salvation. That's why it is God's pleasure, and it is from the very beginning of my existence in the mother's womb. That's how far back he wants to begin. Why? Why didn't he begin with the road to Damascus? Why did he begin from the very beginning? Separated me from my mother's womb. In other words, he wanted us, and he knew himself, that God knew about me right from the very beginning of my existence. That means my entire life has already been known by God, including that period of persecution. God knew. That's why he went all the way back to show how undeserving he was. Why would God care for me right from the very beginning of my existence, knowing that I would do all those things to him, to Christ, and to Christians, and to his work? God's pleasure started in your life and my life as well, from the very moment you begin to exist in your mother's womb. That's how special you are to God. So when your life is like Saul, many, many regrets. Your life may be filled with regret, just like him. Perhaps even more you might think. You have to stop beating yourself. The Apostle Paul had to move on. Sure, this life of persecuting the church will always be in his mind. But he understands the grace and the mercies of God are far better than any one of us, because he did not allow himself to swim in bitterness, self-pity. He did not allow himself to swim in the pond of despondency. He moved on and he turned his life around by the grace and the mercies of God. And he started to serve the Lord and spend all his days promoting Christ, which he once upon a time destroyed, which he taught us to mean redeem the time. Whatever time that was lost, that we did not use it to promote Christ when we were not Christians, you don't have to waste anymore. That's why he started from the mother's womb, to help us overcome our dark, dark background. Just like these students in FEBC, body covered in tattoos. It is one thing to admit and acknowledge, and then now you have to move on and do not carry with you the stigma and the bitterness and the anger and the self-pity that whatever comes with it. To know that right from the very beginning of your existence, the Lord knew of your journey. And your journey will not be the same as others. You are unique, you are special. And the Lord has used all these to shape you and to mold you to be what you are, just as he used Paul's past to shape him and to mold him to be what he was, as the greatest apostle the church had ever known. That's why he started from the very beginning. And that's how you must always see your personal testimony. It did not begin at the point of your salvation. The Lord had always been there with us and for us, shaping us, molding us. The difference is this. Before salvation, we were not aware. We were completely oblivious of the Lord's presence since we begin to exist in mother's womb. Until you look back. You look back upon your childhood. You look back upon your growing up years. You look back upon the adversities, the joy, the happiness, all the mixed feelings and what you could remember. The Lord's hand had always been there. It's just that we were not aware of it until after salvation, and then slowly through the study of God's word, through more prayer and closer walk with God, and then you begin to look back, and then you understand that God had been shaping you, molding you throughout. Throughout. There is a reason why the Lord took my dad away from us. For me, I was 17. My sister, she was 18. My older brother, 19. My older sister, 20. My younger brother, 16. And then my younger sister, 15. And then 14. and then 12, and then 10. My youngest brother. There is a reason. At that point in time, of course, we sorrow, we wept. We do not have dad anymore. My dad was a multi-millionaire, and if he had lived for another 30, 40 years of his life, and continued to live the good life, I do not know what would happen to me or my brothers and my sisters. But because of what happened, very soon after my dad's passing, we have nowhere to go. We have to rent a premises to live in. And then we have to do a lot of things on our own now. And before, we have maids, so many drivers to look after everything. Don't have to do anything, literally. We have drivers to look after us. Few drivers, many cars. One maid to look after us, one maid to wash, one maid to cook. That's why I speak Cantonese, because the maid to look after us was from Hong Kong. You know those amas, they wear black and white. That's why all of us speak Cantonese, even though we are Hainanese. My mom, my dad, both are Hainanese. They only speak Hainanese during Chinese New Year, because all the aunties and uncles will come, and that's where they break off into Hainanese. And so we listen to Hainanese only once a year. Of course, my mom used Hainanese to scold me a lot, and so I know a lot of Hainanese bad words that she used to scold me. So of course I won't say them, but I know what they are because they are descriptive of me. Lazy, useless, because I was lazy and I was useless. Our upbringing, we all had our past. You think it was an accident? The Lord did not know that my dad would be taken away from me when I was 17. Of course, the Lord knew. And from that point onwards, it was a rough time for my mom especially to look after all nine of us. And then for us as children that went to the army, I had to go alone to MINDEF to take the three-tonner to Pulau Tekong. I was alone in Pulau Tekong. No parents sent off, none of these things. Whatever you have to go through, you struggle alone. You make mistakes and blunder, you go through it alone. I don't want to share with my mom because my mom had enough problems of her own. So all these shaped and mold each and every one of us. The Lord knew us, separated us from my mother's womb. Separated means he had been there to take care of us from day one. Losing of loved ones at any time of our life, the Lord's hand has been in there. And then the Lord will shape us and mold us in ways and means that if our loved ones were around, it would not have been possible. So there is a reason, there is a purpose. And that's why he went all the way back to the very beginning. Same for all of us. No exception. And then he caught me. At that point in time, in his case, it was the road to Damascus. When did God call you? Through Christ. Do you remember the day of your salvation? Do you remember the circumstances in which you were brought to Christ by God? Please understand that when someone shared the gospel with you, do not see it as Christ being brought to you, but rather God has now brought you to Christ to be saved by Christ. Because salvation is of the Lord. And if the Lord himself wants to save you, there is nothing on earth, nothing in your life that can prevent Christ from saving you and baptizing you with the Holy Spirit by placing in your heart the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means when someone shares the gospel with you. The Lord saved us by his grace. We don't deserve it. We deserve hell. He mentioned grace here instead of mercy. Mercy means the punishment we deserve, which is death and hell, the Lord took it away from us. That's mercy. But he emphasized grace here. He called me by his grace. That means he did not save us and put us back here on earth. He saved us and now he put us here on earth on our way to heaven. The journey here on earth is passing through. A time of service. Because the salvation of Christ is by grace. Which is the Lord Jesus Christ coming down from heaven's glory. Walked on earth. Became one of us from infancy, from birth to adulthood. Exactly like us, born of the Virgin Mary without sin. 100% human. In order to save humans, just like us, that's why the Lord did not just simply come and appear in grown human form. which was what he did on certain occasions in the Old Testament, and they are known as the Christophany, Christ appearing in human form as adults, like he appeared to Abraham in Genesis 18, together with two angels, and he ate with him. Jesus did not come like that. He was born of the Virgin Mary, just as you and I were born, existed in our mother's womb onwards. And Jesus Christ has to be perfect, and that's why he was born of the Virgin Mary. And a man was not involved. Joseph was not involved. It was by the power of the Spirit of God, so that when Christ became man, he did not give up his deity. He was fully God and fully man when he was in Mary's womb. And then he was born of the Virgin Mary. And then he was fully God and fully man from infancy to adulthood until the age of 30. Just as all priests must begin their ministry at the age of 30, Jesus Christ followed the Levitical time scale. When do they serve? At the age of 30. He followed all the laws of God on our behalf. He obeyed perfectly. And then at the end of his life, he knew that he has to suffer and be punished for your sins and for my sins. Otherwise, you and I cannot get out of hell and into heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ allowed himself to be betrayed, to be arrested, to be persecuted like a lamb led to the slaughter without uttering a single sound of complaint. And then they nailed him to the cross. He allowed them, even though he was fully God with all the power at his disposal to free himself, but he did not, because of you and me, because of our sins. That's grace. We are saved by grace through faith. We are not saved by faith. Faith is the hand that reaches forth the fresh living water and drink it. And that living water is Christ. That's why Jesus describes himself, I am the living water, I am the living bread. Your faith is the way that you accept salvation, receive salvation. And that faith is given to us by God himself as well. Everything about salvation. That's why he talks about, call me by his grace. And then while he was on the cross, he died. When he said, it is finished. What was finished? My mission from God the Father to come down to save you from your sin is finished. Was it enough to take away all our sins, the sins of the world? 3 days later, God said, it is enough. The blood of my only begotten Son, the Son of God, the Son of Man who came and to die for the sins of the world, no matter how heinous, no matter how many human beings live, and no matter how many sins you committed against God, God says, it is enough. Because God raised him from the dead for our justification. It is enough. And this is how the Apostle Paul described, called me by his grace. At that point in time, I am so undeserving. Right from the very beginning, the Lord knew about me. And then at that point in time in my life, after I persecuted the church, he intervened and he saved me. He saved me. He delivered me out of the bondage of sin and removed from my life the penalty which is death and hell. And now he did not put me back on earth as if now I have to do my own good works to earn my way to heaven. What Jesus Christ did by fulfilling all of God's law, we are all good enough instantaneously to enter heaven. But the journey is between heaven and hell is earth. You serve me. You witness for me. According to the time that I have determined for each and every one of you. And when your service is done, I will take you home. You will never lose your salvation while you serve me on earth because of Christ. That's why he gave us assurance after assurance after assurance. No man can take you out of my hand and the hand of Christ. You know of anyone more powerful than God that can grasp open the fingers of God and take you out? Never. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life nor angels in heaven, on earth, or principalities, diseases, nothing is separate us from the love of God in Christ. Romans chapter 8. To give us that assurance, once we have believed in Christ, by his grace, undeserving, unworthy, and yet based upon his good pleasure, right from the very beginning of our existence, at that point in time in my life, God called me and saved me by his grace. And I hope you also have the same story to tell, like Paul, because of your personal salvation, and sometimes you are required to do so. And I pray and hope that opportunities will come during this Lunar New Year season, that you will share with someone. In his case, He had to because of the enemies who were like him, or he was like them once upon a time. And that's why he had to share. And he had to share of the undeserving nature of his own salvation. So that when he shared about himself, he must always bear in mind, it must be Jesus who must be exalted and not himself. And that's why he says, it is God's pleasure, it is God's grace. I don't deserve it. First part of verse 16, he revealed his son in me. He revealed his son in me, not to me, in me. What does that mean? From life before salvation, verses 13 and 14, as a persecutor, life undeserving salvation in verse 15, establishing that it is by God's grace, and now he shared about life after salvation. To reveal his son in me, that means how I live now. You will see the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. That's the meaning of to reveal his son in me, in his life. When he opened his mouth, it will be the words of Christ. When he examined his conduct, in times of plenty, how did Paul conduct himself? That's how Christ would conduct himself. In times of want, how did Paul conduct himself? That's how Christ would conduct himself. That's what it means by to reveal his son in me, his calling. You have to know your calling. You have to know why you are not in heaven after salvation. You must know what is the purpose that God has for you in your life while you sojourn here on earth as strangers and pilgrims. And you don't have to be alone. That's why God placed you here in the 21st century, in these last days, for a purpose, equipping you and surrounding your life with brothers and sisters in Christ who can continue to encourage you and help you. And God has provided you this church, and God has brought you into this church. And you have to do your part so the churches who are now being attacked and undermined by the devil, God will be merciful to use each and every one of us to preserve this church so that it will remain faithful and true to the Lord Jesus Christ until the Lord returns. We all have a calling. The Apostle Paul was called by God to be a capital A apostle to write New Testament scriptures to found many churches. He did not know that at this point in time because this was about his salvation. He founded these churches in his first missionary trip. And then he will found many more churches in his second and third missionary trips. And then on his final, as a prisoner, he will go all the way to Rome. And while he was in Rome, he will share the gospel with all the soldiers and some of the servants in the palace. And many of them will come to know Christ. And that's why he could say that, you may bow me, I may be in prison, but the gospel can never be bound. Because everywhere he went, even in prison, he will share the gospel. And one of the wonderful converts was this slave, as you can read in the epistle, a very short epistle, Philemon, Onesimus. He was saved by Paul. And Paul, do you go back to the master, take this letter with you, and on my account ask your master to forgive you and not kill you and take you back. Because you have to do what is right. You ran away. Now you found Christ. You have to go back. Everywhere he went, as long as he was breathing, whether a free man or a prisoner, he shared the gospel. That was his calling. He understood. What is your calling, dear friend, after salvation? I hope you have a life to tell before salvation. I hope you have a life to understand, to tell undeserving salvation, that you experience God's grace in your life, and now your life after salvation. And I pray that you are living that life. Just as Paul himself was sharing with them, he is living that life, and all of us must live that life. To reveal his son in me, that's what he was there for, and that's what you and I are here for. To reveal the Son of God in us, at home, at work, in school, wherever we are, in church, to help brothers and sisters in Christ. Church is a very important part of a believer's life. And that's why we are going to spend 3 months in Sunset Gospel Hour, so that you may have a biblical understanding of the importance and significance of the local church ministry in your life. And in the lives of your family, if you are the head of the home, you have to understand your relationship with the local church so that you will do something, do your part, to take care of the church. The church is not the building, the church always the people. Brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through the same challenges, the same difficulties up and down, just as you are going through. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken upon man, but that which is common to man. Now, we all are going through difficult times. We all going through temptations, and we all go through. And some of us have gone through what you are going through right now, and I can share with you how I have gone through them so that you can also experience the victory. This is what Christianity is. A personal testimony whereby you have a story to tell. And for us as children of God, our story is not about self. It's not about my life, but my life in Christ, just as Paul described it, to reveal His Son in me, in us, that I might preach Him among the heathen, that I might tell everyone that God has brought into my life and to tell them about Christ, so that when I share my personal testimony, the only person that must be exalted and magnified is what Christ has done in my life. We were nothing. He turned us into disciples of Christ, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And then the conclusion, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now this is a little strange. Why did he say that? Immediately I conferred, I consulted not flesh and blood. I consulted no man. Now, God willing, next week we will continue. Because verse 17, he will continue. He will explain further. But just to let you know, because of his own personal circumstances. Now, he was a persecutor of the church, and he was not just any small P persecutor. He was a very fierce capital P persecutor. Now, just imagine. Anyone can say that he is a disciple of Christ. Anyone can say that you are called of God, right? Just like today. Anyone can say that they are born again. And so we allow them to come into the church, and true enough, some of them have found to be wolves in sheep's clothing. Because we can't tell. Now, Paul was a well-known persecutor, famous persecutor. And then he can say whatever he wants. Now, his purpose was to catch Christians. His purpose was not only to catch Christians, but to catch the leaders of Christians. And so what better way than to pretend to be a Christian and then to pretend to be an apostle, just like these apostles that he wanted to capture. Right? That was the obstacle that he had to contend with after salvation, after being called to be an apostle. That's why God used Ananias to call him, so that Ananias can attest to other Christians that truly this man Saul had truly been called by the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine if Ananias was not involved. His salvation and his calling all came directly between him and God. You think anybody would believe him? Even after God used Ananias. When you study the book of Acts, you realize that after all this time when he arrived in Jerusalem, he wanted to join the ranks of the apostles and all the rest. Do you know that they avoided him? They were very nervous and frightened of him. Who wouldn't be? That's why he testified, immediately I consulted not flesh and blood. This is for him only, not for every one of us, because we do not have similar background, because he could pretend to be a spy. Or could pretend to be a Christian and be a spy, I mean. And that's what they were afraid of. That's why he said, I did not consult. That means my apostleship came directly from Christ. What I did not make it possible for me to consult anyone. Because if I were to consult anyone, it would have to be Christians. But no Christians want to go near me. They don't trust me. They think that I'm pretending and I'm going to arrest them. And that's why he had no choice. He could not consult any flesh and blood because of the nature of what he was like before salvation as a persecutor of the Christians. How could Christians trust him? That's why when Ananias was called by God to give him that calling, to lay hands on him, to remove the scale from his eyes so that he could see again. Ananias said, Lord, are you sure this is the persecutor of the church? You want me to go to him? He's going to catch me. He's going to arrest me. No, I really want you. I called him. He is going to be an apostle to the Gentiles. You go. And thank God Ananias obeyed and he went. And despite his testimony, nobody in Jerusalem wanted him except Barnabas. Barnabas received him. That's why he's known as the son of encouragement. You find that in Acts, in his testimony of salvation. That's why he consulted no man. And so therefore, in our context, unless your background is a persecutor of the church like Saul, please consult flesh and blood. Consult elders, consult pastors, consult others who are more mature to guide you, to help you. Find directions in your calling and in life. In his context, he could not. Because nobody trusted him, nobody wanted to go near him. That's why he said what he said. And that's why it was so easy for the enemy to attack his apostleship. Because anybody can call themselves an apostle. And Ananias was not around anymore. There's no document, there's no testimony he could carry with him everywhere he went. I am truly an apostle. There was no black and white, as it were. He has to prove it again and again and again because he was easy target. Personal testimony from all believers are sometimes required. And we must know how to share our testimony. I've heard of a testimony of someone who claimed to be called into full-time ministry. In the course of his testimony to full-time ministry, he purposely let slip how much he earned when he was working before he gave up his job to serve the Lord. He let slip that he earned $10,000 a month. What is he trying to say by his so-called slip-up? That you are giving up a big fat job that earns you a big fat salary, and you're doing God a big favor by your sacrifice to go into full-time ministry. Of course, today the person is nowhere. He's nowhere. It's very hard to share a personal testimony that does not promote the person, but Christ. But the Apostle Paul did it amazingly well. Each time, when you look at his testimony, because in his testimony, he always never forget, I must demean myself. I must never promote myself. And even if he was forced to, he had to qualify. I speak as a fool, such that you fools can understand. And so he quickly lists down all his sufferings in 2 Corinthians. And then he concludes, at the end, it's only when I am weak, I'm a nobody, then can I be strong because of Christ. Sharing a personal testimony is the most difficult because we want to promote Christ even as we talk about ourselves. And this is how we do it. Life before salvation, and always remember the transition. At the end of it will be life after salvation, but before that, in between, a life undeserving salvation. And that transition you have to emphasize. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve to be called. We don't deserve to be called children of God. We don't deserve to serve God. We don't deserve any. That's why it's called God's grace. And never talk as if you are doing God a favor by your service, by your worship, by whatever you do. God saved us, undeserving sinners. We cannot do without Him. He can very well do without us. So don't come to church as if you're doing God a big favor. Don't serve Him because you're doing God a big favor. So that when you serve Him, and then the ministry begins to increase, so you think it's because of you? It is never because of us. It is always by God's grace. Any heart that is touched by the Word of God is the Spirit of God's doing. Not the preacher, not the messenger, not the teacher. And truly, with all your heart, give God all the praise. We are just an instrument like the pen. If this pen is used to write a beautiful, exquisite poem, it is the hand that holds the pen that did it, not the pen. If your life is a wonderful life for Christ, it is the hand of God working in your life, not the pen. The pen will be us. The teachers, the preachers, the writers, we are just the pen. And therefore, give God the glory. And as we share our testimony, we do so as unworthy servants, unprofitable servants, that at the end of our life, we can only say, praise be unto the Lord. And that's how Paul did it, for the glory of God and for the protection of the Christians. In this case, he was forced to. He had to share with them. I was like them. And now you know my transformation. I'm no longer like them. And that's why what they are doing to you now, I used to do. It is another gospel. Don't let them deceive you. We are living in the last days, dear friends. If you have a testimony to tell, whatever it is, make sure that it glorifies Christ. If it is a tremendous blessing and victory, share to the glory of Christ. If it is a life of struggle and even regrets, but you learn from your mistakes, also share, like King Solomon. He shared about his big blunders and mistakes in the book of Ecclesiastes. We all have a life to share. Not just any life, but the life that reveals the Son of God in us. And I hope you will share it. Would you? Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that You have saved us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. And we are all on the way to heaven because of the finished work of Christ in our lives. And in between, O Lord, heaven and hell, You have given us the honor and the privilege to be called into ministry, to be a witness for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right from the very beginning, You have separated us from our mother's womb, and You have called us by Your grace in order to reveal the Son of God in us by the way we speak, by the way we live. Help us therefore, O Lord, to do so as our one and only calling in this life. Whether at home, at work, in school, in church, wherever we are, may we reveal the Son of God in us. Especially, O Lord, during this Lunar New Year season, help us to take a tract and to give it to some of our loved ones and friends whom we will probably meet only once a year. And we pray, Father, that You will use us to bring the blessing of salvation to them. For all Your children have a story to tell about the great work of Christ in our lives. May we do so with gratitude, thankfulness, and always in humility. That even as we share about ourselves, may Christ increase and we decrease. Teach us how to do that, and also to share our lives with brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we can provoke them unto love and to more good works, to the praise and glory of Thy holy and blessed name. For this we ask with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.